that happens in life can happen in a show. You can make them laugh, you can make them cry. Anything, anything can go.
Welcome to your weekend. This is Weekend Showcase, your North State Arts Magazine. I'm Tom Kinney. Today we talk with the director and three of the actors from Chico State's Big Spring musical, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. It's a fun satire of corporate life in the early 1960s with a snazzy toe-tapping score. The production opens this coming Wednesday. And on today's program, we will be giving away tickets to opening night. Just be ready to call in just a few minutes when we tell you to for tickets to this full-scale Broadway-style show. Also on today's program, we talk with artist and printmaker Michael Halderson, whose surreal etchings, collagraphs, and serigraphs are on display through the end of May at Chico's Upper Crust Bakery and Cafe. That's coming up over the next half hour here on Weekend Showcase. Stay tuned. First, here's Brian Maul with the North State Arts Calendar.
In Reading, at Old City Hall, the latest production from Axiom Repertory Theater comes to an end. Marvin's Room, a poignant comedy drama, plays tonight and tomorrow at 7:30, with the final performance Sunday at 2. Tonight, the State Theater in Red Bluff presents Everything Fits, a family band featuring high-energy fiddling. These young Canadians play everything from traditional jigs and reels to bluegrass, jazz, and swing standards, and novelty numbers. The music starts at 7:30. Then Thursday evening, also at the State Theater, Rave On, a rock and roll extravaganza that recreates the thrills of a Buddy Holly concert. This entertaining tribute to one of the founders of rock starts at 7:30. Tomorrow is the final day of the Orland Art Center's exhibit, Other People, Other Places. The three featured artists have traveled extensively, and their art reflects responses to the places they've visited and the people they've met. Center hours tomorrow, 1 to 6. In Chico, the Blue Room Theater opens The Faith Healer, an Irish play about the life of Francis Hardy, a man with the power to heal through religion. His life's revealed through the shifting, sometimes conflicting memories of Hardy, his wife Grace, and his stage manager, Teddy. See this intriguing drama tonight or tomorrow at 7:30. Chico Theatre Company opens the Gilbert and Sullivan classic, The Pirates of Penzance. Join this roguish bunch and the innocent young man apprenticed to them. The high seas hijinks begin tonight and tomorrow at 7:30 and Sunday at 2. Tomorrow at Chico State's Harlan Adams Theater, Around the World in Song, the Spring Choral Concert. The event features the a cappella choir, the university's chorus and chamber singers, together performing music from Scandinavia, Germany, England, Russia, Korea, Japan, and Africa. This international potpourri of song starts at 7:30. Then Sunday at the university's Zing Recital Hall, as part of the Grand Opera Cinema Series, the Puccini classic Tosca. This performance by the San Francisco Opera is on screen day after tomorrow, starting at 2 o'clock. The Janet Turner Print Museum at the university presents the 22nd Annual Juried Student Print Exhibition and the 15th Annual Student Ink Clay, showcasing outstanding work in printmaking and ceramics. The museums open 11 to 4, Monday through Saturday. Recently, a number of local businesses in Chico were visited by fairies, and those wee folk built hidden homes for themselves. Tomorrow, come to the Chico Art Center and pick up a map to help you on your adventure to discover miniature doors to those fairy abodes. See samples of these artistic portals at the Fairy Garden Show between 10 and 4 tomorrow and Sunday at the Chico Art Center. In Yuba City, the Acting Company opens Southern Hospitality. Catch this laugh-out-loud farce tonight or tomorrow at 7:30 or Sunday at 2. That's the calendar for this week. Thanks for listening. French composer Claude Debussy had this to say, "Art is the most beautiful of all lies."
How to succeed in business without really trying. That's the musical comedy that's on stage at Laxon Auditorium at the Chico State Campus, opening this next Wednesday. In just a few moments, we'll be talking with the director and three of the actors from the show. But if you'd like to be at opening night, we're giving away a pair of tickets for Wednesday's opening night show. All you have to do right now is call 898-6198. That's the number for NSPR, 898-6198. And you could win a pair of tickets. So call right now. And if you don't succeed in getting that pair of tickets, stay tuned because you can call in later when we tell you to. We have another pair of tickets to give away. That number to call again is 898-6198. Well, it's just about time for the big production of the year for the Department of Music and Theater at CSU Chico, How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. Let's start with the director, Matthew Miller. Well, this is a major Broadway show, I would say, from the end of what I would consider the golden age of musical theater. But it's based on a nonfiction self-help book, or really a satire of a nonfiction self-help book. How does that change the essence of this musical compared to other musicals?
It's incredibly unique, and it's one of the things that makes it so special and such a gem. I don't know that I could say that it changes the approach that we take, because at the heart of the show, you know, it's about this young man, this earnest young man, charming young man, trying to do what he thinks is best and succeed in the way that culture has taught him how to succeed. It's that sincerity and that charm and that energy that drives the whole show.
Well, the whole retro early 60s thing has become a big thing in the past couple decades, you know, with Mad Men and all that. Did that Mad Men vibe kind of inform some of the design elements of this show?
Absolutely. We talked about Mad Men quite a bit and used that slick early 1960s world as our jumping off point. But the heart of the show is a hugely satirical look at this world. And that's one of the things that makes it so incredible. When the show opened in 1961, the people that they were making fun of were essentially their audience. I mean, the upper middle class businessmen, executives, and their housewives were the people in the audience that this show was looking at and mocking. And they were doing it so well that the audience was laughing, and it was a huge hit. People are oftentimes surprised to learn that it's one of only 9 musicals that won the Pulitzer Prize for drama, because through today's contemporary lens, it's so fluffy and so fun, and, you know, it's got catchy music and big dance numbers, but it's hard to remember that at its heart, it really is this highly satirical look at this part of our history. And at the time that it was produced, the people that they were making fun of were the people that were watching the show, which I just think is really kind of wonderful.
Well, we have here Mackenzie Lason, and he actually plays J. Pierpont Finch, the central character in How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. How do you keep the audience rooting for you for this whole show? Because that's key to the show, that they're really with you and rooting for you.
I honestly just believe it's being genuine with it. When I think about the character of Finch, I kind of look at him like a big, happy golden retriever or lab, like a puppy. Someone gave him this book and he's just like, I want to do this. I want to be up there and I want to be doing what these people are doing. He is a window washer,
right?
The World Wide Wicket building. He starts out as like an onlooker through the windows, mm-hmm. like someone watching these people. And then he thinks to himself when he gets this book, I want to be a voice.
Here's Finch, played by Robert Morse in the original Broadway cast. He's singing to a reflection of himself in the company bathroom.
You have the cool, clear eyes of a seeker of wisdom and truth. Yet there's that upturned chin and the grin of impetuous youth. I believe in you. I believe in you. I hear the sound of good, solid judgments whenever you talk.
And he does have big ideas, and he's lovable, and he just wants to be like very genuine about what he believes he could like help this company out. The book changed him in a way he didn't really like too much. He kind of sees that. And then I'm literally trying to save everyone around me.
We also have here Hannah Nadich. She plays Rosemary. Tell me about the character of Rosemary.
Rosemary is a secretary at the World Wide Wicket Company who almost immediately falls in love with Finch when she sees him. The guys who work in this company are just kind of sleazeballs. Mm-hmm. They're consumed in the alcohol and the women, and it's very much like what we see on Mad Men. And what she sees in Finch is something completely different, an earnest drive and willingness to succeed. Rosemary, she supports him from the beginning and really encourages him.
How did you, Hannah, deal with that whole getting into this culture where women were viewed as just supporting objects rather than equal people?
I had to think about what women were expected to do and want in the early 1960s. Rosemary sings a song called Happy to Keep His Dinner Warm.
Yeah. How did you invest in that song when it's such an emblem of women just being the meek bystander rather than an active person?
Well, what helped me more than anything and is like my favorite part of this show is that it's a satire. It's been something we've been really encouraged to play with, emphasizing that it is a satire of this period where women were expected to just be happy to keep his dinner warm. But what I love about Rosemary is her sincerity in, really, that's just what she wants. She wants a man who is genuinely driven, and she wants to be able to take care of him.
So she has the ambition to be a supportive stay-at-home housewife.
Right.
Okay. All right.
But again, remembering that the lens in which this show was originally done, they were making fun of that. The original production was not endorsing that. I mean, that's a comedic song.
We also have here Luis Fuentes. What is it you like about playing the president of the company?
I like the stature that Bigley has. He's a firm, strong, powerful man. Being able to embrace that is fun. But at the same time, on the opposite end of that, to me, he's kind of like a big golden retriever puppy himself.
So you think that's why he has this bonding with this guy, J. Pierpont Finch, who came from nowhere?
Yeah. Bigley sees a lot of himself in Finch. You know, because Bigley is a great leader. The men in that building would follow him off of a cliff. At the same time, he has no idea what he's talking about. Which is kind of what Finch does. You know, he has no idea what he's talking about either. But people like him.
We're going to go out from this interview on Brotherhood of Man from the original Broadway production.
Now look, even though we're all part of the cold corporate setup, look, deep down under our skins, this flesh and blood, we're all brothers. Now you may join the Elks, my friend, and I may join the Shriners, and other men may carry cards as members of the Diners. Still others wear a golden key or small Greek letter pin. But I have learned there's one great club that all of us are in. There is a brotherhood of man, a benevolent brotherhood of man, a noble tie that binds all human hearts and minds into one brotherhood of man. Your lifelong membership is free. Keep a giving each brother all you can.
How to succeed in business without really trying. That's the show that opens at Chico State's Laxon Auditorium this next Wednesday, May 3rd. And if you'd like to be at opening night, we're giving away a pair of tickets right now. So all you have to do is call in 898-6198. We're here at NSPR waiting for your call, 898-6198. Just tell us you'd like to have that pair of tickets to How to Succeed in Business Without Really Trying. That number to call again is 898-6198. Call now. Let's join our visual art expert, Dolores, as she talks with Michael Halderson, a master printmaker currently showing his works at Upper Crust Bakery and Cafe in downtown Chico.
This is Dolores Mitchell, and today I'm very pleased to be speaking with a superb printmaker, Michael Halderson, who has been creating etchings and other forms of original prints for over 5 decades. We're first going to talk about his experience with the CSUC art faculty. Michael?
In the fall of 63, I had just changed my major to art, and I took a printmaking class from Janet Turner. I fell in love with printmaking, and then I spent 3 years in the Navy, and I came back in 67 and really got into etching and found out that that's what I really like to do.
What attracted you to the medium, and also what was Janet's approach to instructing?
What attracted me was the working of the plate, not only the drawing, but the reworking of the plate to get different effects. You can get effects that you can't get otherwise with painting or with drawing. Janet was more than helpful in that she was exposed us to different things like sugar lift and soft ground and aqua tint. When you combine things like that, it gives a whole different feel.
There may be some listeners who do not understand the etching process. Can you give us a simplified version?
In my case, I use zinc, and you coat the thin piece of zinc with an acid resist called asphaltum. Wherever you scribe with a needle, when it's dipped into a bath of acid, the acid will attack the surface and make a groove, which will transfer your image. If you're doing numbers and letters, you've got to remember to do everything backwards. The asphaltum is removed, and you take a proof. You wipe the entire surface with ink, and then you wipe the surface free with a stiff cheesecloth called Tarleton. Clean the edges up, and your paper's been soaking for an hour. When it goes through a big roller press with 3 felt blankets, it'll force the paper down into the grooves, collect the ink, and transfer your image. Then it has to dry flat.
One would have to be an excellent draftsman, really be able to draw well. Then there's also textural effects that can be achieved.
There's all kinds of things that a variety of tools create a different texture, and aqua tinting with spray paint. There are just any number of things, and then the beauty is finding a new way of doing something. That's exciting.
There's also some surprises. So you may think you're getting a certain effect, and you're really quite surprised. Sometimes pleased, sometimes not.
There's a film on YouTube about me printing a print. As I'm pulling it off, I go, now you're hoping for an aha moment and not a naha moment. You can always rework the plate, and that's why you take those proofs. There are different stages.
You also had some very influential contact with 2 other printmakers. Marion Epting was one. Who was the other?
M.C. Escher, the Dutch printmaker, Maurits Cornelius Escher. I was very fortunate to be able to spend time in his home studio in Barn, Holland in 1970 as a graduate art major.
Tell us, what do you think is the difference between Escher's approach and the approach of many surrealists?
Escher is, how can I put this? He creates illusions, and surrealists generally take realistic images and combine them. My approach to printmaking is I like to take various images and juxtapose them, creating a different reality.
That takes me to what I really want to give you great credit for. You do a lot of giving back. You donate to nonprofits. You help students with their own quest to become fine printmakers.
I donate to nonprofits as a way of giving, but I learned that from Janet Turner. She donated her prints for the student print exhibitions so that they can get more supplies for the printmaking department. As far as helping students, I'm there as a volunteer employee of the university Thursday mornings to help students. I am pleased that I can give 5 sheets of printmaking paper to each student that asks. I always make that available. And also I enjoy sharing the things that I've learned over 5 decades of printmaking, little techniques, and I'll share tools and ink with them.
I think many people do not realize how expensive fine art papers are.
It varies when you buy it and whether you can get it in bulk or not, but still it's many times between $3 to $5 a sheet.
I also understand that you've made it possible for the Turner Collection to have some original Eschers.
Through osmosis, or a circuitous route. A gentleman bought 23 of my prints from the internet at one point. He came out to visit my wife and I. I took him down to see the new Turner Print Museum at Chico State in the new Arts and Humanities building. He got to meet Catherine Sullivan, the curator. They immediately hit it off because they both have dance in common, but they also have printmaking in common. He's got 500 M.C. Escher prints and or sculptures or woodblocks. As he was leaving, he said, do you think the Turner would like a small Escher? I said, yeah, I think Catherine and the Turner would really like that. 2 months goes by, and I'm trying to figure out a way to tactfully remind him that he made this gesture, and I receive an email from Catherine thanking him for Belvedere, which is one of Escher's iconic prints. I called him up the next day, and I said, Steve, Belvedere? And he goes, I thought the Turner could use an iconic image of Escher's that really shows what he could do. I said, well, thank you. You've just made my life. 2 days goes by, and I see another email from Catherine saying, thank you for Waterfall. I called him up, and I said, Steve, Waterfall? And he goes, Belvedere would have been lonely without another litho. They were both lithographs. 3 days goes by, and she's thanking him for Day and Night, which is the woodcut, the one that made me fall in love with his work in the first place. I called him up and I said, Steve, Day and Night? And he goes, yeah, he said those two lithos needed a woodcut between them.
Well, Day and Night, I think you can easily give a very brief description because it is such a memorable image.
There's no negative space. The white geese fly into the black geese. Most people have seen it. It's probably his most iconic image. It's the one that I saw in a little picture in the Chronicle in 1969, and I said, that's for me. I had a chance to buy it for $300 in 1970, but I had $400 to go to Europe with, so I never got one.
You were telling me a wonderful story about one of your etchings that will be in the Upper Crust show, Butterfly Alley.
Butterfly Alley. Well, I was laying in bed one night, and I was thinking about what's the strangest thing of anything that could be in aerial combat, and I was also focusing on the Korean War with MiGs, and there was a thing called MiG Alley, where a lot of MiGs were shot down by our American Sabre jets. And then I said, you know, butterflies, they're beautiful and full of freedom, and they're peace and love. Why would they be in aerial combat? So I did this plate, and I put butterflies in it, and then I hit it with a Jackson Pollock technique and splattered. It's got a very kinetic feel, and it's printed in midnight blue.
It's a kind of war and peace image. Your show at the Upper Crust, which is going to be for the month of May, has approximately how many prints?
I'm still trying to figure that out, but it's anywhere between 18 and 25. Whatever works together. Actually, Reed Applegate is going to help me hang it, and he has an eye. He's hung all my shows there.
Let's give some praise to Upper Crust as a wonderful venue for exhibiting art, and that's been going on for decades.
I really enjoy the Upper Crust. In fact, I almost live there when I'm downtown. Lori, the owner, is so kind.
And there's always a guaranteed audience, which is wonderful. Sometimes galleries during their slow time are absolutely empty. Do go to Mike Halderson's exhibition at the Upper Crust Bakery between 2nd and 1st Street on Main. Thank you very much, Mike.
And that's Weekend Showcase for this week. We'll be back next Friday at 3 o'clock. If you ever miss this program at its regular broadcast time, you can hear it online anytime after 3:30 Friday at mynspr.org. As always, we encourage you to enjoy the arts in the North State. For Weekend Showcase, I'm Tom Kinney. Weekend Showcase is a production of North State Public Radio. Thank you.